When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay in the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
Sending it back in along the left-hand side. 7:40 to go. Puck in front. Connolly with a chance. They score! They score! The puck on a rebound for Lars Eller! Eller gets the rebound and puts it home! And Washington leads it! 4-3 with 7:37 to go! The Tiger pouncing at the moment that he can potentially be the hero!
Welcome back to Japers Rink Radio. I'm your host, Greg Young. And before I welcome Kevin Klein and Adam Stringham, who are both here to opine on the Washington Capitals, I want to real quick just give JP a massive credit for everything he does. He is the one that re-recorded the intro, and I think it sounds great. And not only did he re-record the intro, he did it in like eight separate ways, so I can mix and match, and it's really cool. And also, he does a lot of great work for the site, and I guess great work being that he founded it. And so there you go. So JP, I'm sorry I forgot to give you credit before, but hopefully this makes up for it a little bit. So that being said, we're gonna dive in. So Adam, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. You know, just hanging in here. Doing better than the Caps I've done in third period, so that's for sure.
There you go. There you go. And Kevin, how are you? How are you doing lately?
I'm doing great. I'm just laughing at Adam's incredible expertise at making sure that even his hello to the audience is topical and tied to the subject matter at hand. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Well, nice. I mean, Adam is the real pro at hosting Japers Rink Radio. I think we all agree that I kind of pale in comparison to his. To his shadow here. So that being said, Adam led me perfectly into the first topic that we're going to talk about, which is The Caps have been playing really, really good hockey. I don't think anyone would really argue that. But they blew yet another lead last night as we're recording this. They lost 5-2 to the New York Rangers after the Caps had two goals in the course of 10 minutes. And Adam, I know that that was kind of frustrating to watch, but that's yet another lead that's been blown by the Washington Capitals. So what's going on here?
That's a great question. I mean, it's the one that I'm sure the team would love to pay someone lots of money to figure out for them.
Maybe they should just pay you.
Yeah, wish. No, but, you know, it's a good question because what we've seen with the team is a consistent difficulty in holding leads this year, right? This isn't exactly a new phenomenon for them, and it's just concerning, right? Like, what games have they been able to hold things out fully for the 60 minutes? And it kind of looked like the Rangers game, the second one that we're talking about here, was maybe a bit less of a blown lead than it was kind of lackluster play for vast stretches throughout the game, because they also had a stretch like that in the first period that came back to bite them in the butt. They just didn't exactly look crisp. And so I think in this instance, it's a bit less of a overall thing. I think this game, they just didn't play that well altogether. That's kind of what we heard from the coaching staff as well following the game. But I don't know. I think Kevin's got some great answers for us about what the team does in general that kind of causes them to struggle so much with holding leads.
Yeah, Kevin, the floor is yours.
Well, I wouldn't say that I have the answers so much as just a few observations. And to your point, Greg, the team has been playing out of their mind for a little while here. And so we're talking about this Rangers game that happened on Tuesday night, and they blew the 2-0 lead. And that's the first time they've completely blown a lead in a little while. I think they gave it their best shot in the previous game against the Rangers when they were up 4 goals and ended up winning that game by one. But to me, it felt like there was a little bit of a reprieve there. And it seemed like the narrative around the blown leads had calmed down a bit. And granted, they're playing lots of games against Buffalo and against New Jersey, et cetera, sort of the weaker side of the division. But now it's flaring up again, and we're quicker to say, okay, yeah, like this is definitely a problem. And just in my sort of clicking around and looking at some stats about the Caps and how they play with a lead, there are a few things that really surprised me. If I told you that last night before the game, the Caps led the league in goal rate with a lead, would you have believed me? Because I wouldn't have believed me, but it's true. And now, after last night, the Rangers actually are the team that has scored the most goals with the lead. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting sort of challenge to how we're thinking about, oh, the Caps are playing like shit with the lead. I don't know that they are necessarily. Also, if you look at teams that have the lead a lot, like what percentage of the time does the team play with a lead? The Caps are up there at the top, which makes sense, right? I mean, they're one of the top points percentage teams in the league. And if you look at other teams like the Tampa Bays and the Torontos and the Vegases of the world who also play with the lead that frequently, the Caps, as measured by expected goal percentage, just as a sort of directional way to understand the quality of play, are way beneath that sort of comparable, like, team-level success. And even more interesting than that is that all of these teams, whether their XG look great or their XG doesn't look so good, expected goals doesn't look so good, they all outperform it, right? So Tampa Bay's expected goals percentage, let's say it's like 54, they outperform even that. And so the Caps are outperforming that expected goal while leading metric that you find on places like Natural Stat Trick. but it's there's still a bar that's being set by other high quality teams that the Caps just aren't. And I'm not going to sort of shatter any preconceived notions here, or this isn't a revelation. They're just not getting goaltending. They're like last in the league in save percentage with elite. So the answer is they just need to get more saves in big moments. And you know, Vitek Vanacek really hasn't been that guy. We've talked about it at length, and what he's done has been great and kept the team afloat to some degree when they needed it. But it's really if Samsonov wants to really run away with this thing, if you can make a few more big saves and big moments and sustain that over time, that's what's going to do the trick. It's going to stop the leads from being frittered away, and it will solidify his position in net. So sorry, that was rambly, but
no, that makes sense. I mean, you basically you articulated in a lot better of a way that where I was kind of going to go with it, which is basically that in order to blow leads, you have to have leads, and the Caps are really good at having leads. Like it's like as you said, like they're one of the best teams in hockey, and kind of one of the things that we just always see across the league is teams go into shells. Even great teams have that happen every once in a while. And I think it's, you know, like you look at it down the line, and I don't know, JP and I have, and Kevin, we've all kind of discussed this in Slack a little bit, that you look at, even aside from just goal share, but shot share, the Caps actually do pretty well with the lead. They're not bad. It just feels like they're doing worse because lately it's been Vitek that's had kind of his ups and downs, and maybe Sammy might be running away with this, but I don't know. I guess, Adam, I'll pitch the goaltending question to you this way. Do you think there is a leader in terms of the Caps, and like, do they have a number one goalie right now? And if they do, what are you kind of hoping for to see from them? And before we start saying, oh, maybe they don't need to shore up the position at the trade deadline.
I think it's Samsonov. I think it's, I don't know if it's a pedigree thing or what, but certainly he benefited from being pushed a little bit by Vanacek. But, you know, he looks like a guy that was picked in the first round, and that's how he's been playing recently. Granted, the third period against the Rangers wasn't great in the weekend game, but in general, he's looked solid, and he was the guy that was slated to be the guy of the future, and he's the reason they felt confident not retaining Braden Holtby, which turned out to be the 100% correct decision for the Capitals.
Oh, yes.
You know, they had an option. They could have tried to keep Holtby, right? I mean, they made the decision to keep him and move Grubauer just a few years before that, and obviously Grubauer is now immensely successful in Colorado. But kind of getting back to your original question, it's definitely Samsonov. The Capitals don't have any room to go acquire a veteran goaltender. And frankly, I think they're going to have to make do with what they have. And it's not like there are a lot of goaltenders available that make you really feel great. The best goaltender available would be Henrik Lundqvist if the doctors say he's healthy enough to play. Besides that, I don't have a ton of interest in the other guys that are on the market.
And so Kevin, are you kind of in the same place in terms of not really feeling like there's a goalie out there that could be a good big upgrade? Because I know I looked at this, and I mean, the pickings are pretty slim. Like, I mean, do you want to bet on the like Devin Dubnyk maybe not being that bad? That's not exactly the road I want to go down. But do you think there's a move here that could make sense, or are you kind of comfortable with where Samsonov is right now?
Yeah, I'm more than that. I'm comfortable with him, really. I'd like to see him kind of take the net and use this last stretch of the season to shore it up, and my comfort level will be higher. But there's nobody who's out there who represents a potential reward that's worth the risk of like stunting Samsonov further, or even just the risk of not starting your best goaltender because you went and you acquired this other new object. So acquisition of a goalie who's not currently in the organization is, it really doesn't interest me. And I'm in full agreement with String that Lundqvist does represent a compelling third option here, which is, hey, if he gets the green light, yeah, I want the King in there challenging Samsonov and potentially winning that job for the playoffs because he's the fucking King. And, like, who doesn't want to see Chara, Ovechkin, and Henrik Lundqvist out there in the same jersey competing for a cup? I mean, like, I'm not a big narrative guy, but that one is just too good to pass up. But just on Samsonov in general and whether I think he's the guy and what this team is doing in the goaltender position in general, I think we've seen the needle shift over the last, let's call it 3-4 games. And that Samsonov has more firm control of the net now than he has at any point up until now. And I think back to that game, I want to say it was against the Devils and Vanecek sort of he misplayed the puck and just right in front of the net and the Devils picked it up and scored to open the scoring. And then he gave up two other pretty bad goals and the Caps ended up winning that game 4-3 in spite of Vanecek. It was a really, really ugly performance by him. And then the next day, Samsonov came out, was lights out, got, I think, his second career shutout.
Yep.
In a game that was 4-0 on the scoreboard at the end. But I didn't think that that was particularly reflective of what was going on, especially in the early goings of that game. And so Sammy playing that well on the heels of Vanecek playing so poorly, and I think Samsonov kind of being the presumptive better player in the eyes of the organization in general, really moved the needle. And nothing we've seen since then has changed that. I thought when the Caps won 5-4 on Sunday, Samsonov, he was really good in the first two, and then that all the third period stuff happened. And kind of similar but reversed yesterday, I didn't think that Vanecek was particularly bad. I didn't think that the loss was a symptom of him by any means, but he didn't do anything to swing the needle back in the other direction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, at least with the margins and how tight it is in the NHL these days, like you sometimes, the goalie battle can be won as many times by making maybe the saves that you wouldn't expect a goalie to make versus just the ones that you would. And I look at Samsonov against the Devils, where he made a number of outstanding saves and kind of bailed out the Capitals there. And I mean, Vitek's done that on occasion, but he's not exactly a guy that you would say, oh, he's going to be that kind of goalie that could go, that could kind of skate out of his shoes for a few periods there. But speaking of a player that is skating out of his shoes, I'm going to give myself a C+ for that transition. There you go. Alex Ovechkin is doing things at 35 that he was doing at 25, at least if you kind of look at like his overall shot rate and the way he's scoring goals and everything like that. And Adam, I mean, this is remarkable to watch, right? Like what is going on with Ovechkin? And do you think he has a shot to maybe catch the Matthews and McDavids to make a run at this Rocket Richard, or do you think it's maybe a little too late?
I mean, he definitely has a shot. I mean, it's funny. Rob was kind of talking about it last time he was on the show, about how with Ovechkin, you know, if he's within 10 goals or so, like it's possible, anything's possible. You know, there were a few years in a row where he went off and scored, I think something like 10 goals over a 3-game stretch or, you know, something like that. He's done crazy things. Usually those crazy stretches were at the very beginning of the season, if I'm remembering them correctly, but he's looked great. I mean, in terms of goal scoring, I know there were a lot of people on Twitter upset with how he was playing last night. You know, I thought he kind of look mediocre, average. I didn't think it was a particularly bad game for Ovechkin when talking about this second Rangers game. But he's doing amazing things. I mean, every time we start to write him off, whether it's people that are nationally or people that are locally, including sometimes even maybe people on the podcast, myself included, might think that, okay, maybe this time, maybe we're finally really seeing him slow down. He then kind of comes back and does stuff like he's done over the last month. I mean, closed a 12-goal gap, I believe, down to 5 in less than 30 calendar days or something like that. So just really impressive and a joy to watch. I mean, it's nice to see him start scoring from the OV spot again, even if it isn't necessarily on the power play. And it's hard not to appreciate all of the great memes we've gotten over the last week with Ovechkin closing in on the goal lead I've certainly enjoyed them.
Yeah, the Simpsons meme in particular with Todd and who's the other Flanders kid? I'm blanking. But so that's one that definitely comes to mind. But I guess, Kevin, I what's been remarkable for me is we've kind of in past years talked about Alex Ovechkin and Evgeny Kuznetsov when they played together. They're I don't think you would exactly say they're lighting the world afire defensively, but this year when they've been playing together, they've been pretty good. And I know that when I had Peter on last week, we were kind of talking about this a little bit. But kind of, what are you seeing with those two playing together, and why do you think it's working this year?
Well, I'm seeing tremendous offensive production, and one guy, Alex Ovechkin, who's continuing the expectation exceeding performance. If you think about just sort of the expectations around his decline and everybody seeming to wait for it and it just never coming. So that's continued another year, and that's always what I'm hoping for every year. Kuznetsov is a different story. Kuznetsov is a guy who we saw the potential on an individual basis, but also the potential of when he's playing at the top of his game, what it could mean for the Caps, which was obviously culminating in a cup run. If those two guys are going and you can knock Backstrom down to the second line and play him with TJ Oshie and Jake Vrana, you know, ideally, though, you know, the jury's still out there, I guess. I mean, you've just got an awesome, productive, efficient top six. So, you know, I don't really have any X's and O's observations. I would just say that the way that the lineup is structured, when you can put Ovi and Kuzi together and have them be net positive in the goal scoring, which they should be, then it just helps all the chips fall into place. And I look at the lineup right now and I think it looks great top to bottom. I'm just like, yeah, this is a competitive roster with no glaring holes. In years past, we see maybe go, oh yeah, they really are desperate for a top four defenseman, or they're really desperate for somebody more skilled on the third line wing or something like that. And I don't really see it this year. And that's largely on account of Ovi and Kuzi being able to produce on the top line the way that you expect a top line to produce. But I mean, just to kind of talk about Ovi a little bit more, I mean, bet against this guy at your own peril. What is he? He's 34, turning 35, or is he 35 already? I forget.
He's 35.
Yeah, so 35 coming up on 36. And the guy is third in the league in 5-on-5 goal scoring, like, yep, by rate. I mean, just incredible. And that's with a slow start. So do I think that he can catch Matthews and McDavid was the other one?
I think they're 1-2 right now.
I have to confess that my outs of the Mass Mutual division tunnel vision has taken hold of me.
Well, it's been easier this year because we don't see McDavid or Matthews, huh?
You see him if you're watching the highlight reels, that's for sure. But just in terms of like league awareness. But anyway, yeah, of course, I think that he can catch them. But this year has got me thinking about Gretzky again, to be honest with you. I think all of those lost games from COVID, like it felt like the dream was slipping away, right? It's like, how can he do this? And then he just comes back out and he hasn't missed a step and he's still the same guy that he's been for the last 5-6 years, where he just wins Rocket Richard after Rocket Richard. And he's doing it at even strength, right? And he's got a lot more goals in front of the net, I believe, like shorter goal distance. And you start thinking again, yeah, this guy isn't really declining. I think the only thing that's standing in his way is how much he wants it. Does he want it enough to stay in the league for as long as it's going to take to get it? Because you could see him, you know, 5 years down the line, maybe the production does fall off to a point where he's only getting 12 to 15 goals a year or something, and then he's got to maintain that for another 3-4 years to hit that 894 mark. Does he want to do that? How important is it to him? You know, I think those questions are the more apt line of inquiry about will Alex Ovechkin do it than anything having to do with his actual physical ability.
Yeah, and Adam, I think at least for me, it's I know we had talked to Corey a little bit about this, and Corey thinks he can catch him as long as Corey has the right goal number on his head. I think for me, I'm going to be really curious to see what his next contract with the Caps looks like, because if it comes out and it's like 5-6 years and he's, if at the end of that he's like 20 or 30 goals away, you got to think that there is going to be at least some pressure, although who knows how susceptible he is to it, to kind of just say, all right, let's stake around for another couple of years and get this record. But I don't know. Like, do you think we never really got your opinion. Do you think he can catch Gretzky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he can do it now. Yeah. For the reasons Kevin kind of mentioned, and that's certainly been the thing that's been in the back of my mind when I'm watching him kind of get back and score all these goals recently to really up that kind of goals per game of the season. It's encouraged me that it's still in reach, even with all these lost games. I mean, it's doable. He can really do this, and I hope he does. I mean, it'd obviously be fantastic for the Caps to win another Stanley Cup, but maybe the only thing that would come close to that it would be Ovechkin getting that record. I mean, that part of me even wants Ovechkin to get the record more. So it's certainly something.
Well, and I know.
Think about that. Yeah. Just think about it for a second. If he were to do it, to score that many goals in this era, wearing the same jersey the whole time, are you kidding me? And it's the jersey that I have hanging in my closet too.
Yeah.
I mean, that will cure certain medical conditions in certain people, if that
So I don't want to, let's see. I don't want to start comparing Alex Ovechkin to Jesus here, but I think you're leading us on the water here, Kevin, which I enjoy. So whenever we can have that kind of content in a Japers Rink radio podcast, I'm always going to be for it. But with that, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk real quick about the trade deadline and the bottom of the Caps lineup. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Japers Rink Radio. I'm still here with Kevin Klein and Adam Stregub. And Kevin, I want to talk about the bottom of the lineup. And I'm going to put this in the pantheon of good problems to have, which is it seems like the Caps have 13 NHL forwards and 12 NHL jobs. And last night, with Lars Eller being healthy and in the lineup, Richard Panik was the one that got the healthy scratch. So how are you seeing this competition shake up? And is there anyone in particular you would want to keep out of the lineup on a regular basis? Or do you think it should kind of rotate?
Yeah, I wrote about this a few weeks ago, I think, maybe a week ago. My position is in Lavi. I trust he's done such a great job that, I think that he deserves the benefit of the doubt and he'll make the appropriate roster decisions at the end of the day. Based on my own observations and study of the data that's available to us, I like Daniel Sprong and what he brings to the lineup, and think that they should be finding reasons to have him in there rather than not in there. So last night we saw Richard Panik take a seat in favor of Sprong. I think that you're not icing your best players when you make that decision. I think that Richard Panik is a better player than Garnet Hathaway. And I think you can justify either having Sprong or Panik on the fourth line instead of Hathaway. And obviously, Hathaway represents some of his more conventional fourth-liner traits, grit and sandpaper, and all of that. But the Caps will be fine if you swap in a little bit more skill and playmaking ability and lose a little bit of what Hathaway brings. I think that the more salient observation about Hathaway is that he kills penalties, and Sprong doesn't. So I don't know. I think you just ask Sprong to kill penalties, or you ask somebody else to step in. It's not like Hathaway was getting huge penalty minutes. I think he's like the fifth or sixth forward in penalty kill ice time. And he has the unfortunate habit of taking a ton of penalties too. And that's a bigger problem for the Caps, right? So anything that they can do to get an edge and get the penalty differential flipping in the other direction, I think would be a huge benefit as well. But Sprong's shooting percentage is so high, and he's certainly a candidate for some sort of regression. But he has a pretty healthy track record of shooting. I think his career shooting percentage is around 12%, which is Alex Ovechkin's number. And nobody's saying Daniel Sprong is Alex Ovechkin. But I think if you put a guy who can produce down the lineup the way that he does, I really like having that as a part of a lineup construction, sort of more than just a guy like Garnet Hathaway, who, you know, I love him, but guys like him are a dime a dozen. Taking Back Sunday reference for any of the listeners who are of my age. But let's hear String's take on it.
Yeah, go ahead, Stringham. I will say I can't believe that anyone would imply that I had my doubts about Peter Laviolette. I cringe at the person who would have that kind of take, particularly one that's expressed in a internal chat. But Adam, I've heard comparisons of Daniel Sprong to Brett Connolly in an extent, in terms of just kind of guys who are maybe going to always shoot a little bit better and are maybe more finishers. But do you have a preference in terms of who sits and who doesn't?
You know, I'd like to see Sprong in the lineup. He's kind of got that game-changing ability with that shot. I think the Brett Connolly comparison is interesting just because, you know, it feels like Connolly was just a bigger framed guy. And I don't even know if that's accurate. Just watching them play, it feels like Sprong's a bit more slippery, while, you know, Connolly kind of reminds me a bit of Eric Fair with just kind of his size and how he played. But, well, that's not even fair either, because Eric Fair was good at possession and Connolly wasn't. So, but Connolly scored goals, and that's what we're seeing from Daniel Sprong right now. And for me, it's hard to take him out of the lineup. He's certainly been productive whenever he's been in. He's scoring at an elite rate, and hopefully his goal scoring doesn't drop off at the same rate as the Capitals' other elite rate scorer, Jacob Vrana, who basically has been a no-show.
He's not been an elite scorer lately.
That exactly. So, you know, things can come and go. I think if Sprong cools down, he will certainly be back on the bench. I'm not sure Laviolette loves him. That's just my gut take, because it felt like he played relatively well earlier in the season and was still able to find his way onto the bench. But I think it really is for the reasons that Kevin's kind of outlined, which is just how Laviolette wants to run his roster and what he wants to see out of the bottom six. So, yeah. You know, I'm not going to be up in arms about Sprong, but I think he's certainly proved to be a valuable piece, and the Capitals got him for a bargain. So,
yeah. All right. Well, real quick, with the emphasis on real quick, Kevin, 30 seconds or less. Do you think the Caps need anyone at the deadline? And if so, what should they go for?
No, I don't think that they need anyone. The only person that they should go for, if he were to become available, which he is Jack Eichel. And that has nothing to do with the current roster construction so much as it has to do with when Jack Eichel, an elite young top center, becomes available, you try to get him.
Sure. That makes sense.
That's the rule.
Yep.
Yep.
There's no, you can't pay enough for star talent, at least it seems like in the league. String, real quick, anyone you want?
No, I mean, I think the Caps are, they're so cap constrained, and there aren't a lot of glaring holes right now in the roster. I mean, the most important thing now, which is really surprising to say, is they got to get Vrana going again. I mean, he's has enough trouble scoring in the playoffs as it is. I imagine if he's coming in ice cold, that won't exactly help his confidence when I'm sure as a player, he's aware of how he's struggled in the postseason.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right. Well, We're gonna call wraps here. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Japers Rink Radio, and thanks again for JP for doing the intro. If you like the show, please rate, subscribe, review. Kevin, real quick, where can people find you and your various musings?
You can find me on Twitter at SickUnbelievable. And anything I write is going to be right here at japersdrink.com.
There you go. And Stringham, where can people find you and your various musings?
On Twitter at StringhamA.
There you go. And you can find me at GregY_JR. And you can find the show at Japers Drink Radio. And thank you for listening. And stay tuned, because next week, I believe I will not be here, but we're going to have Chris Watkins on. And that's always exciting. So with that, thank you for listening. And stay tuned for next week.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.